What's up, guys? This is College Football with a West Coast Bias, aka the RPO, a podcast dedicated to college football. Thanks for joining us. Day after, LSU wins their fourth national title in program history. My name's Jay Catch. I'm your host here on the podcast, and thanks again for joining us. A lot to get to. Beyond just the national championship game, we will talk about that. We'll debate, is LSU the greatest college football team in the history of the sport? We'll talk about that. Also need to talk about some of the coaching news as well as transfer portal news that came out during the game last night. It was a fun night of college football, and let's recap it all right here on the RPO. LSU are the national champions. They beat Clemson 42-25 in an absolute classic of a game last night. Hope you guys all enjoyed it. I very much did. My name's Jay Catch, once again, in case you didn't catch that in the open. By way of introduction, I'm a kid who grew up idolizing college football. It's always been the sport I have loved the most. I work for the Zone Sports Network in Salt Lake City, Utah. A kid born and raised at the foot of the Wasatch Mountains. I grew up around Lavelle Edwards and BYU football, but beyond just BYU, I'm a kid who loves college football in all of its glory, all of its warts, all the different things that go on in this wild sport. I love it all, and I'm glad to be doing this podcast talking college football with you guys. All right, LSU, national champions, and I have to say, very much a deserving national champion. They were absolutely dominant, rolling to a 15-0 record, beating the defending national champions in Clemson last night, who were loaded in their own right, and Joe Burrow and Ed Orgeron bring home the fourth national title in LSU program history. Pretty wild season to think about what's happened for LSU this year, because they started the season as the 12th ranked team in the AP poll, if I'm not mistaken, and they've moved up all the way to number one, won all kinds of contests against top ranked teams. And the debate, I think, today is this the greatest college football team that we have ever seen? And there are obviously going to be people that are going to look back at different generations. I hearken back to the era of USC's run that they had under Pete Carroll in the mid-2000s, or I guess the early to mid-2000s, and that was absolutely dominant. I also look back at the 2001 Miami team. 11 first-round draft picks on that team alone, in that program alone. And even go back even further, 1995, Nebraska, absolutely dominant. You can just push back further and further. Barry Switzer's teams at Oklahoma, Paul Bear Bryant's teams at Alabama, some of the Alabama teams that Nick Saban has had. You can even look back at the Texas teams that under Darryl K. Royal, even some of Mack Brown's teams. Of course, Vince Young, who could forget that season that Texas had, beating or collapsing the USC dynasty in that Rose Bowl. I don't know that I can definitively say today that LSU is the greatest college football team I have ever seen, but I have to say they are top five in my personal pantheon of top college football teams I have seen. I can say this without hesitation, though. Joe Burrow just enjoyed what I think is the greatest single season for a college quarterback I have ever seen and might ever see in the rest of my life here on this rock of a planet. 5,671 yards passing, an average of 10.8 yards per completion, 60 touchdowns this year compared to 6 interceptions. That's a 10-1 touchdown to interception disparity. Just phenomenal. Quarterback rating of 202 even, 76.3 completion percentage. Truly, truly the most dominant quarterback career, quarterback season, I guess not career, quarterback season we have seen from a quarterback ever in my mind. Joe Burrow, very much the deserving Heisman Trophy winner. He is going to be the number one overall draft pick in the NFL draft. You can mark it down right now. If I'm the Cincinnati Bengals, I'm already walking over to Roger Goodell's desk and handing him the card now saying, Joe Burrow, Athens, Ohio, LSU quarterback, number one overall pick. I'd go make that decision right now. And it's truly, truly a crazy story to see what LSU did this year. But they are very much the deserving national champions. And for those of you that were getting a little bit burned out on Alabama and Clemson going back and forth with the national title seemingly every year, well, guess what? You got it broken up by the Bayou Bengals and the LSU Tigers. And for that, I guess you should be thankful. I know a lot of people are lamenting the fact that the Pac-12 can't get to the caliber that some of these programs are. And this is a podcast. I'm based in the Western United States. I grew up in the Intermountain West. I've always favored West Coast Conference teams. But I have to say, the Pac-12 is seemingly light years behind the SEC and the ACC, at least in terms of Clemson. The elite level that some of these programs are competing at, and we saw two elite programs last night. We saw one that's more elite than the other, at least this year, speaking of LSU over Clemson. But what I look at from the Western Conference perspective, I don't know what the Pac-12 is going to do. I know that this is a cyclical sport, so at some point you would expect that the power will come back around to the Midwest, the Big 12, and the Pac-12 at some point, you hope. But with all the money being poured into programs, especially in the ACC, the Big 10, and the SEC, you're going to have to start investing some money of your own over here in the Western United States to see that pendulum kind of swing back towards the West. Very impressed with LSU. I thought it was a very deserved national title. I don't think anybody can say, well, the SEC is dominating the rankings. What you saw from LSU should make you as a college football fan sit up and say, you know what, that was a fun season. I enjoyed every second of it. And we should be thankful that a guy like Ed Orgeron, who is just great, by the way, I have a personal affection for Coach O. I think he's a great dude. He always seems to have fun. He's living his dream coaching LSU, a kid who grew up in just a very small part of Louisiana, went to LSU and felt like, you know what, I can't thrive here as a student athlete, and left, went home to work and got brought to Northwestern State and thrived there, and has now just kind of returned as the prodigal son to LSU and leading that football program to heights that I don't think many teams can say they've gotten to. So like I said, I can't say today that LSU is definitively the greatest college football team I've ever seen, but they are top five in Jake Hatch's personal pantheon of top teams. Now, you're probably wondering what my personal pantheon consists of, what teams are in that group. And I would say the 2004 USC team, I don't care if they vacated that title, that is one of the greatest college football teams I have ever seen, is on the list. And this is in no certain order. The 2001 Miami Hurricanes team is also on that list for me. You can't argue with 11 guys who ended up being first round draft picks in the NFL. Just an absolutely dominant program there, speaking of the Hurricanes. I would say the 1995 Nebraska Cornhuskers, led by the Black Shirts defense, is also on that list for me. And let's take this with a grain of salt. I'm a kid who was a child of the 90s. My reference point begins in the early 1990s and runs up to present day. So I'm not going to be able to tell you much about teams in the 1980s because I was very young then and did not see many games. I was a toddler for most of the 1980s. I was born in the late 80s. So yeah, so the teams I'm listing: 2004 USC, 2001 Miami, 1995 Nebraska, I think just truly a dominant team there, the 2019 LSU Tigers, and then it came down to one final team, and I was thinking through some of the Alabama teams and what Nick Saban has done. He's had a truly legendary career, and what he's done at Alabama can't be ignored just in terms of overall dominance. But for my money, the 2005 Texas squad, led by Vince Young, I think is my fifth of the greatest teams I have ever seen with my own eyes. So there you go. That's my top five pantheon of the greatest teams I have ever seen. I think LSU is right in the mix with those great programs, and I think history will bear that out as we look back on this season some point down the road. Feel free to weigh in. My personal Twitter feed is at Jacob C. Hatch. Love to hear from you guys there. Let me know your thoughts on the greatest teams you have ever seen at Jacob C. Hatch, or at the show Twitter feed at the RPO Pod. Now, amidst all the national championship hoopla and the great game we all got to observe last night, and it was a great game, there is no doubt about that. I very much enjoyed myself, and hopefully you guys did as well. We got some breaking coaching news that came late in this contest. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic, one of the foremost authorities and best writers when it comes to this great sport of college football, was on Twitter last night and tweeted out, breaking, Washington State is going to hire Hawaii head coach Nick Rolovich as the Cougars' new head coach. Now, let me get this out of the way right off the top. I think this is a phenomenal hire for Washington State. If you're a Cougars fan up there in Pullman, I think you have got a great coach coming in. If you look at his record coaching at his alma mater in the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors the last four seasons, it's an overall record of 28-27. But I think the biggest thing you need to look at when it comes to Hawaii is they improve steadily under Rolo's leadership. He's a former quarterback there at the University of Hawaii, and he led the Rainbow Warriors to 10 wins this season, capping it off with a Hawaii Bowl win over BYU. And I have to say, I think Washington State took one of the best characters in college football, speaking of Mike Leach and him leaving for Mississippi State, and has now replaced him with one of the best characters that's not Mike Leach in college football, in Nick Rolovich. A guy who's not afraid to speak his mind, but also is just a quirky personality that should fit in well with Washington State fans. Pullman is an out-of-the-way location, as most Washington State fans will readily admit, and I think that Rolovich is going to do an incredible job with the Washington State Cougars. He has a bunch of quarterbacks in the stable waiting for him when he gets to Washington State. None bigger than, I think, Jaden Delora, a big-time prospect in this past recruiting class who had just signed with Washington State before the departure of Mike Leach for Mississippi State. And according to reports, what he's telling reporters, he's very excited to play for Nick Rolovich. He's got familiarity with him. Rolovich offered him at the University of Hawaii, so Jaden Delora should thrive in that system, but that's not the only quarterback in the roster. I'm based here in Utah. There's a kid named Cameron Cooper, who was a highly thought of quarterback prospect a couple years back, that's been up there biding his time as a Cougar, as well as other guys in that quarterback room. So I feel like Nick Rolovich is walking into actually a pretty good situation, all things considered, at Washington State. Yes, will he need to replace or replenish some of the wide receiver positions? Absolutely, but he has Max Borgi, I think one of the more underrated running backs, especially along the West Coast, playing in that air raid system. He didn't get the due that I felt was his, but there is going to be a shift in philosophy at Washington State, because you're going to see a run-and-shoot hybrid offense that Nick Rolovich has implemented at Hawaii over the last two seasons coming to Washington State. They'll move away from the air raid system that was so familiar under Mike Leach, but it'll still be a pass-happy offense. A lot of wide receivers running all over the place, catching a lot of passes. So Washington State fans, get ready. Rolo is coming into town, and it should be a ton of fun for you guys that are Washington State Cougar fans. I'm excited as a guy who pays very close attention to the Pac-12 to see how Rolo does in Pullman. I do think that it's going to be interesting to see if the run and shoot can thrive in bad weather conditions, maybe better than the air raid system did under Mike Leach for Washington State. Of course, Leach famously never beat Washington during his time with the Cougars. Will Rolo fare better? It'll be two new head coaches in the state of Washington this year, with Jimmy Lake taking over for the retired Chris Peterson, and now Nick Rolovich replacing Mike Leach. We'll see what happens with the fortunes of the two Washington schools, speaking of the Huskies and the Cougars going forward. But I can tell you this much, guys, in terms of personality, in terms of just his sheer magnetism, they couldn't have hired a better coach at the Washington State University, than they did in getting Nick Rolovich. And it doesn't hurt that he's going to get paid handsomely to trade Honolulu for a Pullman. Obviously, a shift in terms of the weather, because Honolulu is paradise on earth, but Hawaii is an out-of-the-way place to recruit to. A guy in Nick Rolovich who called Hawaii his dream job. Obviously, he played quarterback there for the Rainbow Warriors under June Jones way back when, but you can't argue with the money at the Power 5 level as a head coach of a G5 program. Rolo did everything I think he probably could at Hawaii. He was losing his quarterback in Cole McDonald, who was going to jump to the NFL draft despite having a year of eligibility remaining. He had Siobhan Cordero still in the quarterback room there at Hawaii, who looked like a very capable quarterback. But when you're offered $3 million on average for a five-year contract to move to the Power 5 level, I don't know many people out there that would say, you know what, I'm going to pass on that. So Washington State, my hat's off to you. Pat Chun, the AD up there, I think it's a phenomenal, phenomenal hire in getting Nick Rolovich to go to Pullman. And the Pac-12, get ready. It's still going to be a lot of passing coming from Washington State. But the one thing I do like about what Hawaii has shown over the past couple of years is they will run the ball if they can to kind of balance out their offense, and they will gain chunk yardage with that run game. So should be a little bit of a different look for Washington State in terms of their ability maybe to compete in some of the more high-profile matchups they have, but I'm looking forward to seeing what they put on the field this fall, and looking forward to seeing what the Cougars do with Nick Rolovich in charge. Final topic here on the RPO for this January 14th edition deals with the NCAA transfer portal, and a big name that entered the NCAA transfer portal amidst all of the furor of the national championship last night. That would be De'Arik King, the quarterback from the University of Houston. Earlier this season announced that he was going to redshirt the year, but ultimately was going to return to play for Dana Holgorsen after playing in just four games during what should have been his senior campaign. His father famously tweeted out a few weeks after that my son is going to enter the NCAA transfer portal, and then De'Arik King comes out and says, no, I'm sticking with Houston, I'm going to play things out. Then he tweets out last night, I am entering the NCAA transfer portal and I am going to leave the University of Houston. Now, we've talked a lot of Cougars today. We talked about the Washington State Cougars in the last little bit here about Nick Rolovich, but De'Arik King immediately becomes one of the most sought-after transfer portal quarterbacks, and I have to say, looking at his career stats, I get why he is attractive, but I wonder what he ultimately can do that he couldn't have done at the University of Houston. Okay. Spare me the, well, he's going to play at the Power 5 level. I get that, but this is a young man that I feel like had everything sitting there waiting for him to have a monster senior campaign with the Cougars in 2020, this upcoming season, which is 228 days away from today. But you look at it, and it's going to be interesting. I would guess that Oklahoma is the odds-on favorite to land King in terms of a transfer quarterback, but you never know who ultimately will get King's signature. I can tell you this much according to my sources, and this is as of about noon Mountain Time, so 2 o'clock Eastern Time on January 14th, 2020. De'Arik King's name has still not officially showed up in the NCAA transfer portal, according to my sources. So we will see when his name ultimately does enter the transfer portal. Of course, programs, university athletic departments have 2 business days after a player submits their request for the transfer portal to enter that player's name into the portal. So I'm guessing that'll be coming in short order. But as of recording of this podcast, he's not entered the portal, but I expect it's going to happen in short order. Will he ultimately land with Oklahoma? I do wonder, because Lincoln Riley has one of the top quarterbacks in one of the more recent recruiting classes in Spencer Rattler, who's expected to take over the reins of the Sooners offense. A kid from the valley down there in Arizona, Rattler is one of the top-rated quarterback prospects when he came out of high school. He's bided his time there in Norman, waiting behind Jalen Hurts this past season. Will Lincoln Riley forego putting Spencer Rattler into the position that Rattler, I think, expects he's going to ascend to and take De'Arik King instead? I don't know, but De'Arik King in 2018, the last full season that he played, had 2,982 yards passing, an average of 8.6 yards per completion, a 63.5% completion percentage, and added 674 yards and 14 touchdowns as a true dual threat quarterback. He's not the biggest quarterback in the world, 5'11", 195 pounds according to the roster. But he is dynamic. He's a dynamite player, a player that's capable of making plays with his hands and his feet. And I would expect there'll be no shortage of college football programs, both at the G5 and more likely the Power 5 level, that'll be falling over themselves to offer him a spot to join their program. Where will he ultimately land? I still think Oklahoma is almost a tailor-made fit for what De'Arik King's skill set is. A guy like Lincoln Riley, you cannot argue with his track record. He had back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners, and then this past season, Jalen Hurts, look like a completely different quarterback than he did during his time at Alabama. So if De'Eriq King is trying to polish himself, make him look all shiny for the NFL, there's a lot worse places he could land than going to Norman, Oklahoma, just up I-35 there. But like I said, there will be no shortage of candidates for De'Eriq King's signature when he ultimately enters the NCAA transfer portal. Just so you guys kind of have like a little bit of background, if you don't know much about the NCAA transfer portal, I can tell you this much. What it is student athletes control when they enter the NCAA transfer portal. They go to their athletic department, the compliance director in particular, and say that they want to enter the NCAA transfer portal. They put in the formal paperwork that requests that. The university then is required by NCAA regulations to enter that player's name into the NCAA transfer portal within 2 business days. Once the player's name shows up in the NCAA transfer portal, any coach from around the country is free to contact that player about joining their program. At any time during the process, the player can withdraw their name from the NCAA transfer portal and return to the program they were originally with. What protects the programs in this whole situation is once a player puts their name in the NCAA transfer portal, the university or the college football program that they are leaving is under no obligation to provide them with their scholarship in terms of the grant and aid, the food, all that different stuff that goes in, the cost of attendance, everything that goes into a college football scholarship. That program is not beholden to offer that to the student athlete beyond the current semester that they are in. So once that semester ends, and you're still in the NCAA transfer portal, your university can just pull your scholarship back and then you're out there floating on your own. A guy like De'Eriq King is not going to be floating for very long if he ultimately signs somewhere else. Like I said, he'll have no shortage of options, but there are student athletes, hundreds of student athletes that entered the NCAA transfer portal in the past 2 years that it's been active that have not ultimately found a home to play college football once again. A bevy of them have gone down to the junior college level. Some have just outright sat out and are hoping to still hear their number called or get their number called by a college coach. But it is a gamble that student athletes play when they leave the program they're at. But like I said, this is not necessarily applicable to De'Eriq King because I feel like he has all the talent that's going to make so many coaches around the country just absolutely salivate, and they will be falling all over themselves to offer him a spot as a graduate transfer to join their college football program. So there you go. Some of my thoughts on De'Eriq King and the NCAA transfer portal. It will be a big part of this podcast going forward. We'll cover some of the big transfers, where players are going, which players are leaving which programs. We'll have that all covered for you. And that'll do it for today's edition of the RPO. It's been a pleasure being with you guys. Congratulations to LSU as the national champions. Congratulations to Nick Rolovich on getting a new contract as the new head coach at Washington State. And also, best of luck to De'Eriq King. Looking forward to see where he lands as the NCAA transfer portal continues to spin and churn out all kinds of prospects. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the RPO. We will talk to you guys soon. See ya.